Las Vegas Vigil.
The amount of love that I see here is overwhelming.
Searching for a motive.
I can't get into the mind of a psychopath.
Gun control debate renewed.
Just have a debate. That's our job.
There's a time and place for a political debate, but now is the time to unite as a country.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan.
And I'm Nora O'Donnell outside the Mandalay Bay Hotel in Las Vegas with the CBS World News Roundup. As investigators try to uncover all they can about the gunman who killed 59 people and injured more than 500 here on Sunday night, this city, known for bright lights and glitz, is in mourning. People sang and prayed at a vigil last night.
It's okay to have fear in your heart. It's okay to mourn those you love. We've all been affected by this.
And investigators are trying to figure out what drove the gunman to stockpile weapons and open fire on a concert crowd. My colleague Steve Futterman begins our coverage.
More than 24 hours after this tragedy, officials here in Las Vegas still cannot find the answer to the key question. Why did Stephen Paddock do it?
We've checked all the federal databases and local databases and state databases, and we had no knowledge of this individual.
Clark County Sheriff Joseph Lombardo, Paddock did have an arsenal of weapons both in his hotel room and at his residence an hour outside of Vegas.
We have recovered 23 firearms at Mandalay Bay and 19 firearms at his home in Mesquite.
Investigators have also looked at another home owned by Paddock. Even those who knew the 64-year-old can't figure this out, his brother Eric.
We're shocked, horrified.
The pieces at this point don't seem to fit. Paddock did apparently have money. He invested well in real estate. His brother says he may have been a millionaire. He also enjoyed gambling. At this point, though, there is no indication of any major gambling debts.
Correspondent John Blackstone has more on how Las Vegas police responded to the chaos and carnage.
As panic swept through the crowd of more than 22,000 country music fans, six police officers rushed across the street to the Mandalay Bay. They located gunman Stephen Craig Paddock inside a suite on the 32nd floor at around 10:24 p.m., shooting through windows he'd smashed with a hammer.
I know that he shot the one security guard up on the 32nd floor, but I don't know if he continued to shoot after that or not.
The guard survived, and about an hour later, the SWAT team stormed the room.
I'm going to form a strike team, Mandalay Bay and the Boulevard. I need five officers on me.
Breach, breach, breach.
Police believe Paddock killed himself.
We're learning more about those who died here in Las Vegas. Sonny Melton was heroic. The Tennessee nurse shielded his wife from the gunfire. He suffered a fatal wound to the back. Charleston Hartfield was a veteran and police officer. A friend calls him one of the nicest guys ever. Lisa Romero was a grandmother who worked as a high school secretary in Gallup, New Mexico. Hundreds continue to need treatment after this mass shooting. Carter Evans is at the hospital where doctors and nurses became heroes.
Victims were rushed to five Southern Nevada hospitals. University Medical Center treated more than 100 patients.
These patients, with so many coming in so fast, we did what's called damage control, which is really just stopping the process of dying.
Trauma surgeon Jay Coates says they train for situations like this.
Have you ever experienced anything like that?
No, this is the largest mass casualty I've ever been involved in.
Every death means something. Every death touches us. When these patients were coming in, the loss of life that we were hearing was so great, we just go into emotion that we do what we need to do.
Online GoFundMe pages are getting a lot of attention for victims of this tragedy. Some have already topped their goals. Steve?
Well, Nora, the Las Vegas massacre has reignited the gun control debate in this country. CBS's Nancy Cordes.
Until 13 years ago, the federal assault weapons ban would likely have outlawed some of the firearms and high-capacity magazines used by the Las Vegas gunman. But the ban lapsed in 2004, and attempts to reinstate it or pass other restrictions have failed. The gulf here on Capitol Hill is as wide as ever, even between congressional gun victims. Republican Steve Scalise, whose hip was shattered by gunfire this summer, told Nora O'Donnell last week in an interview for 60 Minutes that his views on gun rights have not changed.
But you're now a victim of gun violence.
Yeah, but I'm also saved by well-trained people who had guns to
to shoot back.
Reaction to what happened in Las Vegas dominated late night TV. CBS's Vicki Barker joins us with more on that.
No jokes tonight, said a somber Stephen Colbert.
Jokes aren't appropriate to address the shock and the grief and the anger we all feel.
Not the time for debate, asked ABC's Jimmy Kimmel.
We have 59 innocent people dead. It wasn't their time either. So I think now is the time for political debate.
And Comedy Central's Trevor Noah.
I'm sorry that we live in a world where there are people who will put a gun before your lives.
Colbert telling U.S. lawmakers doing nothing about gun violence is cowardice. Doing something will take courage, Steve.
President Trump has praised the federal response to the hurricane damage on Puerto Rico. Today, he goes there for a firsthand look. We're live with White House correspondent Stephen Portnoy.
Mr. Trump will spend more than 5 hours on the island today.
We are going to be seeing all of the first responders, the military, FEMA, and frankly, most importantly, we're going to be seeing the people of Puerto Rico.
The White House says that will include the mayor of San Juan. The president blasted Carmen Cruz's leadership and said those who've criticized the federal response are politically motivated ingrates who want everything to be done for them. The White House insists the situation on the island has been improving each day. Steve?
We bid farewell this morning to a true American rock and roll icon. Tom Petty, who turned out hits on his own and with his band, The Heartbreakers, for decades, died yesterday at 66 after suffering cardiac arrest. Well, I won't back down. A fixture on the radio and early years of MTV, Petty was active till the end. He had just wrapped up a 40th anniversary tour last week. The Trump administration is poised to ask Cuba to withdraw 60% of its diplomats from Washington. Just recently, the U.S. cut its staff in Havana in the wake of the health attacks that left Americans with everything from hearing loss to brain damage. In a world of fees, there's news about what banks charge to use the ATM.
ATM fees hit a record high for the 11th year in a row. You're looking at nearly $5 for going outside the ATM network to make that withdrawal.
Greg McBride of Bankrate.com.
The average overdraft fee hits a new high. It's at $33.38.
That's the price to pay for bounced checks. Three scientists share the Nobel Prize for Physics. Rainier Weiss of MIT and Caltech researchers Kip Thorne and Barry Barish worked on gravitational waves. Barish calls the honor a win for Einstein, who predicted the waves but never thought they could be measured. And that's the World News Roundup. For Nora O'Donnell in Las Vegas, I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.